Man, we're about a week into Grapefruit League action now, Mark. Just, I mean, it can be specific to this year, but in general, at this point of the spring, the team has been together 2.5, 3 weeks. Grapefruit League games have been played for about a week. You got another 2.5, 3 weeks to go. Where typically are you at this point in terms of assessment and what you're looking for from guys?
Well, if you're in the right spot, you're not doing much assessment.
That's fair.
I mean, I think, you know, there are times when you do have to assess quickly, and that probably tells you you're not going to be a very good team because you're trying to make evaluations to make decisions. Good decisions are made based on track records of careers, and, you know, we're still young, but I think the most exciting development, the most exciting observation I can give you, not assessment, is that the depth of young talent is just, you know, it's exciting. I'm enjoying watching the entire game. It's not, you know, 4A players that are coming in late in games. It's Austin Martin, Aurelius Martinez, you know, Geraldo, Jimenez. I mean, there's like guy after guy coming into the game that's a prospect for us that's exciting to see and watch. So, you know, certainly far from perfect, and but really encouraged about the depth of talent and where we are as a team in general. There's obviously some very high caliber starting players out there that are just in their preparation stages.
With Mark Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. One of the things that you and Ross have repeated through your years here, Mark, is the desire, and oftentimes you compare yourselves to Tampa Bay and Los Angeles, the Dodgers, where you want to get to a point where you have more players who are capable of starting every day than there are starting positions on the field.
Right.
And that's clear that you have that now with your outfield. I think you can make the same argument for your infield. So what is the process that you go through in terms of communicating playing time and where you want to get to with your lineup with these guys? Because it would, I mean, if I'm a ball player, I want to be playing 6 or 7 days a week. I understand the odd off day, but I'm paid to play. I've been geared to play since I was 7 years old. So how do you go through that process, making sure everybody stays on the same page, doesn't get frustrated, et cetera?
Yeah, it's a great question, and, you know, one that I've been talking to Ross a lot about. I remember being farm director in the mid-90s Cleveland and just sending back championship after championship caliber player that was ready for the major leagues back to AAA. And there's not an easy, you know, communication point. I think there are two ways to go about it. One, ultimately, you know, you hope to build an organization that fosters communication and trust with your players. You know, 90% of the time we have identical goals. We want them to play as well and be as good as they can possibly be and win games. There's a very small portion of time that we're working in any way against them. And when those situations do occur, I think, you know, we can't forecast what's going to happen. We can only provide scenarios. And, you know, what's most important, you know, Scotty, is that a player, if he allows that decision or at least initial decision to put him in a tailspin, it can, you know, 1 week, one game, 10 games can become a season. If he says, okay, well, listen, here's the deal. You know, I can control what I can control, which is the way I prepare, how hard I play, and the way I produce wherever I am. The chances are that opportunity is going to arise and the business relationship is going to flip at some point because the player is going to run out of options and, you know, he's not just playing for us, he's playing for every team. So there's two ways to communicate it. One's just respect and trust. You've got to control what you can control and be ready. The opportunity will come no matter when it is. And two, the business reality is, you know, we only control so much. At some point they gain control, so they need to continue to work to get better.
There's we've been talking a lot last couple weeks about you know, you guys adding another starting pitcher to the rotation. How do you feel about the starting rotation as it sits right now?
I guess I'd say this, you know, a lot's been made of that. We're not blind, obviously, that's the area of least experience and probably least certainty. But we never claimed to go from a team that lost over 95 games 2 years ago to, you know, a perfect team in 2 years. You know, last year our players, with their belief in each other and their young talent, sped up the time frame, and we tried to reinforce that and bolster that It's far from a perfect team. We're going to have to make adjustments as we go. There are opportunities ahead, the trade deadline next offseason. I think what's most exciting is that we're entering into an era of championship caliber baseball, one where every spring, you know, for the foreseeable future, we feel like we have an objective chance to be a championship caliber team. And we're in the process of doing that. There's still, you know, it's still a far from perfect team. We'll still have to make adjustments. We know that. But there are some young pitchers and starters who have come in throwing exceptionally well, like Kay and Hatch and others who we feel like, and Manoah obviously has been extremely exciting, Simeon Woods, Richardson. So, you know, we feel like there's opportunity, you know, ahead for us to add, but we also feel like we've got good young pitching to bolster the current rotation.
Mark, is it going to be a meritorious thing with some of the young pitchers that you just listed there? Like if they're ready to come up and contribute, injury may necessitate it, underperformance unexpectedly by others may as well. But if these kids are showing you that they're ready, particularly a guy like Manoah, who's a college age draft from a couple of years ago. So like he's going to be 23 soon. He didn't just come out of high school. Do you get them up here and hope that they contribute for you, or do you also have the service time consideration, which is, hey, if we bring Woods Richardson up, if we bring Manoah up, we bring this guy, all of a sudden the clocks start, and all of a sudden the 40-man roster spots are occupied, et cetera.
Zero service time consideration. I think we've proven that with Nate Pearson and Vladdy, you know, when we made decisions on them. But I also think those two guys are cautionary tales, that a guy may appear to be ready, but there's no simulating what ready is in the major league environment. And not only that, when you're transitioning up here in a non-contending environment, it's a lot easier than transitioning up here in a championship with championship expectations and the expectation to win. So it can be a distraction to listen to media, you know, clamoring to see young players, and then they get there and they struggle and there's a quick give up on the player. He's not going to be any good. It is a process of transitioning major league players that requires a lot of patience. Almost no players, especially starting pitchers, just arrive at the major league level and become instant, you know, impact guys. It is very tough. Again, that gap between AAA and the big leagues, both in talent and in pressure, anxiety, you know, what's at stake for a guy is enormous. So we think very carefully about when to bring guys and when to put them into that situation. We factor in a lot of variables, including their personality, makeup, maturity. Can they handle some setbacks and failure? And then you got to be patient and believe in the person, the talent, and know that over time it's going to be great. Ross and I have both seen too many examples where everyone around us is kind of throwing up a white flag on a guy, and you know, ultimately the reasons for bringing him to the big leagues get rewarded, but it requires patience.
Patience. Not in my line of work, Mark. Not in my.
I'm aware.
We gotta balance each other. You guys can be patient.
I know, I'm gonna preach it. I'm gonna preach it. You know, even if I know it's not out there, and just remind too that you know there's a lot of variables that go into those decisions, and you know we're making them based on winning, but what may appear to be an easiest choice to win, looking at AAA numbers and looking at kind of reports and you know, sensationalism may not be a reality based on the experience of a lot of baseball people who have been around a lot of years.
What roles do you see Merriweather and Stripling in this year?
Well, right now Ross is in the rotation, you know, with Pearson going through some groin challenges, you know, Ross. And so I think that kind of says his role is, you know, either pitching out of the bullpen or giving us depth in the starting rotation. The same thing he did with the Dodgers is kind of his role with us. But he's going to get a chance most likely because it's hard to see Nate getting built up, although it's possible still because we're so early in camp. Merriweather, I mean, again, like for Julian, it's clear the stuff is there. The weapons are there. The ability to attack hitters is there. He's just got to stay healthy, and if he stays healthy, he's going to be a good major league pitcher. So I'll hold off on the role and let Ross and Charlie update that as we go. But our primary goal for him is just to remain healthy, and he'll be dominant.
With Mark Shapiro on leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So when I ask you this, Mark, I understand the use of the opener, and I think we've all become accustomed to that in the game. So the way that I'm going to phrase this is how weird could pitching rules as we've traditionally understood them get this season when you factor in that there will be competition for innings, competition for spots. You've got quantity. You're still waiting in some cases to find out what kind of quality that you have. There's that. Plus, there was the 60-game season last year where guys, particularly young ones, didn't get a lot of innings. And so if you want to drag them through a six-month season, you've got to protect them at some points. How creative do you think, maybe not just the Toronto Blue Jays, but teams around baseball are going to have to get to manage all of that?
Well, I think the biggest variable that exists this season, and it's funny because I haven't heard, you know, you're one of the first person, you're at least the first person to ask me about it, is we are in unprecedented territory in the history of the game. Not in the last 10 years, not even coming off World Wars. You know, we've got guys that, you know, literally did not get much workload last year that we're kind of now ramping up for a full season. And I don't care whether it's pitchers or position players, the increase in workload takes us to uncharted territory. And that uncertainty is, you know, potentially dangerous. So we're going to, I think the way I'd answer that is we're going to have to very carefully monitor fatigue, both subjectively, just in observing and talking to the pitcher, and then in the different ways our you know, performance experts and sports scientists monitor fatigue, you know, objectively now. And we're going to have a ton of depth. So I do think this is a year, and this is an oversimplification of an answer, but I think it's a year where depth is going to provide a major competitive advantage, you know, to the teams that have alternatives, because we're going to have a lot of guys in there. I think it's not so much the creativity you're going to see, but you're going to see a lot of people in and out.
With Mark Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So you guys have locked in Dunedin as the host site for your first two homestands. And by then we'll get into May. We won't be long until the extremely hot weather and the almost daily early evening thunderstorms coming off the Gulf of Mexico. Do you have your plan beyond those first couple of homestands? Are you sensing it's headed in a particular direction, Buffalo? I mean, I know Toronto, it's going to be dependent upon the border and all that, but this is also uncharted territory. Mark, you dealt with it a bit last year, but this is also, I mean, last year you knew you weren't going to play in Toronto at all once baseball came back. This year, I think you're hoping. The problem is you don't know when.
Yeah, no, this is, we're going through a list of, you know, top five things I never expect to deal with in my career, and that's two out of six, maybe not playing a game in my home stadium, home country, or home city. So, I've said all along, like, Dunedin is not a full season fit for us. You know, we look at it, you know, somewhere between what we've already announced, you know, the first three home stands to maybe the first 2 months of the season, you know, possibly a little longer, but that's probably about it for the reasons you mentioned. You know, the solution to our season, our home site, lies in some combination of Dunedin, Buffalo, and Toronto. And we're working, you know, feverishly on updating Buffalo again. What we did, what our business group did last year was absolutely incredible, but, you know, it was also very temporary. So we're looking at more permanent solutions in Buffalo that if we have to be there longer term. I guess the only other statement I'd make is there should be no doubt of where we want to be and where we want to get back to with a sense of urgency. It's the name that's across our chest. You know, we want to be in Toronto, and you can talk to our players. You can talk to, you know, it's incredible talking to like a Marcus Semien, and just, you know, he more than anything in the world, I mean, he knew the situation when he signed here, but he wants to be in Toronto. George Springer wants to get there. So we've got new guys that are dying to get there and feel what it's like to play, you know, in the Rogers Center and in Toronto, but we also have, you know, our own players that know that there's nothing better than that. So we'll respect public health and understand the circumstances. But I wake up today and listen to the news as I worked out this morning, and there's certainly reason to be optimistic, certainly at least in the U.S. for now, with, you know, 2.5 million vaccines going into arms on Saturday. And, you know, I think it feels like things are turning for the first time in a more positive direction here, and hoping that things will be the same in Canada in the weeks and months to come.
Bo Rowdy and Manoa, all to the media, talking about the expectations for this year and the fact that a World Series should be, you know, part of the plan. Is that the message you guys kind of send out before camp started, or does it not really work that way in baseball?
No, that's the message the players are sending to us. You know, I think that was kind of what was disarming last year in a good way. Is, you know, I tend to be a slow down. You know, there's a process we have to go through, and can't skip steps in that process. And maybe Bo more than anyone, certainly Rowdy, you know, Kevin, Vladdy, you know, Danny Jansen, Ryan Barucki, Jordan Romano, like all the guys that make up our young homegrown core, they looked around and said, we're better than people are giving us credit for, and there's no reason it can't be now. And they sped the time frame up on us. So I'm not going to put any limitations on this group. I certainly, you know, our jobs are to worry about what can go wrong and to be prepared for those things. So that tends to be what enters my mind. But, you know, our players' belief in their talent and their belief in each other is pretty incredible and palpable. You can feel it when you walk into our camp. It's the one thing when I sat down with George Springer and said, how's it been? Do you feel comfortable? You know, he said, these guys are good and they know it. Like, it's unbelievable. It's for to think about how young they are and how confident they are and how wise they are is absolutely incredible. They're not normal 20, 21, 22, 23 year olds. These guys are way ahead of the curve. So they have championship expectations. I would say our expectations are to build a sustainable championship team. So it's not to place too much emphasis on any one moment in time or any one season. But again, and I think that's what's most exciting, is that all signs point to that we are moving into an era of championship baseball, not a season of championship baseball.
Mark Shapiro is with us, the president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mark, last week, your general manager, Ross Atkins, addressed the media on the Mickey Callaway situation. And Mickey Callaway is the current pitching coach of the LA Angels, currently on suspension as he is investigated for some allegations of mistreatment of women back with his time with the New York Mets and dating back as far back to his time in the Cleveland organization. Our Shai Davidi here at Sportsnet reported that in the wake of this scenario, you met with Blue Jays personnel last week. My question for you is, what is your message internally to Blue Jays employees, and what is your message publicly in terms of how you will handle or have handled any allegations of sexual impropriety or any other misgivings in the work environment?
Yeah, my message is the same internally and externally, and that's that, you know, I tend to be someone who wants to be challenged to constantly reconsider and rethink, you know, what it means to be open-minded, progressive, empathetic. You know, over the past year, Scotty, you know, not just this instance, but everything we've gone through from, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, thinking about equality and, you know, in an enhanced way has caused me to kind of think more about the reasons I moved to Toronto and Canada and wanting to build a team and a culture and an organization that reflects the culture of our country and our city. And, you know, what I said is that, one, there's a zero tolerance, you know, policy, but two, maybe more importantly, we have to create a culture where people feel safe to bring forward any of those circumstances. So we want to build a place where that never happens. But based upon, you know, the history of society, it's likely that, you know, isolated events will occur. And most importantly, people need to feel safe bringing them forward, that we're going to act quickly with no tolerance. So putting into place protocols and opportunities for people to do it. But more importantly, creating a culture where, you know, no matter who they go to, they feel comfortable bringing it forward, and that we aspire to collectively own and collectively take accountability for being in a truly open, compassionate, empathetic, organization that's striving to be, you know, the best, not just in baseball, but in any arena. And the second part of that is I'm not good enough now as a leader, and we're not there as an organization. We need to get better, and I need to get better. So that was the message.
Mark, we thank you for your time this morning. It's a little more than 3 weeks to opening day, and the vibe in this city is we can't wait. And then the second part to that is I don't think people can wait until you guys get back into town, because it'd be a lot of fun to be playing meaningful ball in August and September at the Rogers Center with 48,000 people inside. We thank you for your time, and you know we'll be calling on you again throughout the season. Thank you.
I look forward to it. And rest assured, we can't wait either to get back. So just know that's a driving thought with every player and every person here.